Now, let us begin from the beginning. How were we born again? We're born again because we heard somebody talking about Jesus, true or false. We were being told who Jesus was, what he did for us, and what Jesus has for us. And while we were listening to this wonderful story, a miracle happened. We began to believe it, true or false. We began to believe it because while we were listening, we were feeling convinced and we were feeling convicted. Now, why is this a miracle? Because number one, we had never saw Jesus before. We had never met Jesus before, right? We're just hearing about. And we believed it. Hook, line, and sinker, we believe what we're being told. But we noticed it was not really us that were believing, but there was something that was bubbling from the inside, that was bubbling under, that we found ourselves believing the story that we've been told, that we found ourselves feeling convinced and convicted. That's a miracle of miracles. If you're a Christian in Christianity, this is a miracle of miracles. The greatest miracle there ever is the miracle of believing on the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But now here's a question, how was all of this possible? This leads us to our topic today. It was possible because of faith. We need to understand faith from its seminal aspect, from its beginning, the fundamental, the basic. The miracle of miracles, the greatest miracle that ever is in the Christendom, begins with faith. In the kingdom of God, it is faith from the beginning, it is faith during, it is faith in the end. Everything in the kingdom of God is about faith. Can I say something here? In the ecosystem of God, in the ecosystem of God, everything begins with faith. In the ecosystem and economy of God, I'm adding economy there. In the ecosystem and economy of God, everything begins with faith. In its simplest form, faith is a gift of God. In its simplest and most powerful form, faith is a gift of God in our heart, in our spirit. Faith is a gift. Faith is a gift. It is a gift of God. If it's a gift, that means it's given. If it's a gift, it means it's not yours. If it's a gift, it means that you received it. It is a gift of God in our spirit, in our heart. Faith is activated by the word of God. Faith responds to the word of God. Faith works by the word of God. Faith is activated by, faith responds to, faith works by the word of God. Hence, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. This is to say that faith is activated by the hearing of the word of God. Faith is active response to the hearing of the word of God, and faith grows by the hearing of the word of God. Faith is activated by the hearing of the word. Faith responds to the hearing of the word. Faith grows by the hearing of the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and 8. Romans 10 verse 8. Romans 10 verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. What does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth, it is in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Underline that. That is the word of faith It is in your heart. It is in your mouth. How do you have it? It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God in your spirit. It's a gift of God in your heart. So that's why it says the word of faith is within you. It is near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word of God inspires faith in us. It is the word of God that inspires faith in our heart. The word of God inspires faith in our spirit. Only the word of God inspires. It is the word of faith that we preach. The word of God inspires faith in us, faith in our heart. The word of God is a light that shines in our heart. The word of God is the light that shines in our heart and fills us with the power, fills us with the dunamis, with the dynamite called faith. The word of God is a light, comes. The one who said, let there be light, the word of God says. He has commanded light to shine in our hearts. So the word of God is the light that shines in our heart and fills us with the power that is called faith. The dunamis, the dynamite that is called faith. A power so great, it's unfathomable. I say the power so great, it's beyond comprehension. Beyond comprehension, right there. Faith is a power so great, it's unfathomable. It's a power so great, it's beyond comprehension. If you and I were to be honest to one another, we have not even begun to scratch the surface. We have not even begun to scratch the surface. Faith pleases God because it is a grace. It is a gift that causes us to hear and to respond to the voice of God through His Word. Faith pleases God because faith is a grace, faith is a gift that causes you and me, that causes us to hear God and to respond to the voice of God through the Word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to hear God. Without faith, it's impossible to receive instruction from God. Without faith, it's impossible to receive guidance and direction from the Lord. Without faith. Faith causes us to believe God and to believe in God. I say faith causes us to do our church, to believe God and to believe in God, that is, to believe that God is, to believe all that He has, to believe all that He has done, to believe all that He does, and to believe all that He will yet do. Now we believe by faith. Faith causes you. It is faith that causes you to believe God. You don't say, today I'm feeling okay, I'm going to believe God. Today I'm feeling happy, I'm going to believe in God. No. There is something, there is a gift, there is a grace given. It is given in your heart, it's given in my heart. It's given in my spirit, it's given in your spirit. That's not your faith. It's a gift, it's a grace given. Now, no one can boast it's not your faith. That's why people are trying to act out in faith and they fail dismally because they are tapping into something else that is not the faith of God. Oh, I've been trying, I believed God. No. You are tapping into something else. It's not the faith of God. Because the faith of God works all the time. The faith of God never fails. It never does. Faith moves us towards God and never moves us away from God. Faith moves us. Please, faith moves us. I didn't say faith moves you to your prophet, because I know some of us, we've made our prophets our gods. No, faith moves you towards God. Faith does not move you to men. Curses anyone who puts their trust in men. We are talking about faith which is holy, which is righteous. Faith moves us towards God. God. Faith moves us towards God and never away from God. Faith is a movement. There comes the title of our message. Faith is a movement towards God. If you say, men of God, I've got faith, then you are very close to God. If you say, men of God, I've got faith, but I'm far from God, then you are very deceived. Faith is a movement towards God. Always moves us towards God. Faith causes us to move towards God in all circumstances. Faith causes us to move, church. No matter what I'm in, no matter what is happening to me, even if everything is caving in on me, the world is closing in on me, no matter what it is, I'm crushed on every side, but faith will always move me, will always move me towards God. Faith will always move me towards God in all circumstances of my life. Even if I've lost everything I've ever had, everything I've ever worked hard for, even if I've lost my time, my precious, awesome, wonderful time, but if I have faith, and every child of God born again has got faith in them, this is the grace, this is the gift that God has placed in us that moves us towards our Father. No matter the circumstance. No matter the circumstance, whether it's leaning towards God for mercy or it is leaning towards God for something that we desire for Him to do for us, faith moves us towards God, whatever the circumstance. I'm saying even if it's looking for mercy, say, Lord, I'm looking for your grace. I'm looking for mercy. I'm looking for your compassion. Or it is something that I'm believing, that I believing God to do for me. Faith is a movement. Faith is a movement. You listen to me, you people of God. Oh, my goodness. Human beings will disappoint you. With all the flowers, with all these things that you put on them, they will disappoint you, but never God. I say, but never God. So please pay attention to your faith. Pay attention to the voice of the Spirit in your heart. Let that voice guide you. Let that voice lead you. Don't be deceived by externals. Don't be deceived by the sweet-sounding words of men. Do not be deceived by sweet-sounding words from the pulpit. Do not be deceived by sweet-sounding words from the pulpit. No. Only God will never disappoint you. Ever. 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 Listen to me, friends. Dynamic faith is a verb. I say faith is a verb. Dynamic is dynamic. Faith is a working power. It's a dynamis, it's a dynamite. It is dunamis. Faith is a working power. Dynamic faith is a verb. It is a verb. Faith takes action. Faith does something. Faith causes us to do something. Faith takes action. Faith does something. Faith causes us to do something. I fail to understand how a Christian can be in a place and they begin to die, spiritually, emotionally, and otherwise. Then we call to question whether truly we are born again or not. Because you've got something so dynamic within you. You're not dynamic, it means there's no stagnation. No, it never stagnates, none whatsoever. It's always on the move, always generates power, always moving forward. That's true faith. True faith you're talking about. Faith is a movement, Trishy. It is a movement. Faith never arrives, Trishy. As long as there are steps above you, faith never arrives. You say, Lord, you will take me to the next level. When you get to that next level, Lord, you will take me to the next level. When you get to that next level, because we are serving a God who is omnipotent. How do you finish omnipotent? How do you finish omnipotent? What is the meaning of omnipotent? How do you finish omnipotent? Even if you get to the top, you will say, Lord, they will create a position just for me. Because now I've reached the peak. Now I've reached the apex, but I know that faith, dynamic faith, is a verb. So a verb never sits and do nothing. A verb has got to work. A verb has got to work. I'm talking to somebody here, friends. A verb. Faith is a verb. There is action with the true faith. Never dead. Faith is never dead. Hebrews 4 and 16. Let us therefore come boldly, the word of God says. Hebrews 4 and 16. Let us therefore come boldly. Why come boldly? Why with boldness? Because it says, come boldly without fear of condemnation, without fear of judgment. When you come to God, listen to me, you lovely people of God. When you come to God, He will never ask you what you did yesterday. When you come to God, He will never ask you about the very thing that took you away from Him in the first place. You know, here's the thing. The Lord gave us a wonderful account of the prodigal son, but most of us don't understand that. The father never asked the son any question, but the father ran towards the son. And the Bible says he hugged the son and he fell on his neck and kissed his son. That is the picture of the true God, not the God that is made by religion, not the God that is made by churches, not the God that is made by people. God will never ask you what you did, Hester Mobane. Your so-called men of God, your so-called women of God, when you come before them, it's a kangaroo court. Take them to Luke. Let's read Luke chapter number 15, sir. Let's read Luke chapter number 15, ma'am. There is no God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, there's a God of the church. There's a God of religion. There's a God of people. But there is one God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now we are talking about that one. Well, never ask about what you did yesterday. Didn't ask the son, my son, what were you thinking when you left me? But the God that we fabricate asked that. What were you thinking? How did you think we were going to live? You thought you were going to survive without me. No. That's the God of the church, the God of religion, the God of the people. But the one of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even pastors hardly ever understand God that they preach about. Thank you, baby. Pastors hardly ever understand the God they preach about. Come boldly. Now, that is God. That is God. If I want to go back home, I don't need to be afraid. I don't need to be scared. No, he says, come with boldness. Square your shoulders. Put a spring in your steps. By the way, between the son and the father, in the account of the prodigal son, who ran towards who? But we bow today. Forgive me. I was stupid. I was foolish. I don't know what I was doing. Pastor Rapelang took me out of this place. Madness comes in sizes. Come, I can preach on this scripture a whole sermon. One verse. Come boldly. Come, my son. Come, my daughter. Come. I know you've done wrong. You see, the father knows when you've done wrong. And the father says, I'm waiting for you. I've been waiting for you. I will always wait for you. And when you come, you won't see me first, but I will see you first, and I'll begin to run towards you. What was I teaching about last week? To be a father, take special grace from above. Now, that's a father. Not self-appointed. Problem we are dealing with, self-appointed fathers, self-appointed mothers. To be the true one, the real one, the genuine one, it's not by might. It's not by power. It's by grace of God. You are given the anointing, the ability to do it. To love the people of God. Peter, do you love me more than this? Peter, do you love me more than this? Peter, do you love me more than this? Go take care of my people. That's the heart of the Father. Take care of them. Take care of them. Peter, don't make them your people. Peter, they are not your people. Peter, they are my people. You are my vessel I'm sending. Go take care of them. Don't make them your people. Don't become a God unto them. To love me more than this. Is the church in this place today? Faith is a what, church? Faith is a what? Movement towards God. Let us therefore come boldly. See, come boldly. Come. A movement. Faith causes us to come to God. Faith causes us to come to God. You know, there are some people here, if you have to go see your man of God or your woman of God, you have to fast and pray for 7 days before you stand before them. Faith is a verb. It causes us to take action. It causes us to do something. Faith causes us. It is a verb. But please listen. It causes you, people of God, please. You know, spirit of religion. Religion does not lead you to God. Religion leads you to men. Religion does not lead you to God. Religion leads you to things. But the faith you're talking about, this is the faith that causes you to move towards God. And I'm saying, please hear me. God will never disappoint you, not one day. But men will disappoint you after 12 years. It's like, oh my goodness, after 12 years, all these years I thought you were blue. Now I'm seeing this deep, deep, deep pink. Where does it come from? You see, can even take 20 years and men will disappoint you. But not so with God. Faith leads us to God. Tell a neighbor, faith leads us to? What is faith? Faith is a verb. It's a verb. Let's look at the example of this. In Luke chapter number 8, verses 43 and 44. Just two verses quickly. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, verse number 44, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. Please underline two words there. Came and touched. That's a verb. Those are two verbs. Verbs. Came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. Faith is a verb, dynamic faith, it is a verb. Can you see the woman? What did she do? She didn't just believe and do nothing. This is why most of us, we say we have faith, but nothing happens. Why? Because we believe and do nothing. If we really, sincerely, genuinely have the faith of God, the faith of God will propel us into action. First and foremost, it will lead you to God. And secondly, it will propel you into action. Do you see? This woman had genuine faith, pure faith. And her faith caused her to come and to touch. Two things she did. And what happened? Then there was a dynamic explosion. Oh, come on, can you see it? Immediately there was a dynamic explosion. The word of God says, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. Listen, the faith of God, the faith of Jesus Christ, the faith that is from God, the faith that is a gift, the faith that is a grace, that faith never fails. That faith works all the time. That faith succeeds all the time. This is the account that we are reading about. This is but one example. Never fails. Never fails. It results into a great explosion in the spirit. It gives you what you desire and gives you what you want. Dynamic faith is a verb. It makes God's power available to us in any circumstance and for any circumstance. Dynamic faith is a verb. It makes God's power available to us. We read the scripture already, Ephesians 1 and 19. It makes the power of God available to us in any circumstance, for any circumstance. In any, it does not matter the circumstance. Begin to believe God. How do you believe God? Go to His Word. Faith comes by the hearing, and the hearing by the word of God, right? In any circumstance, for any circumstance, it does not matter. You see, that's the thing I was saying. I think there's a thinly veiled deception that tells us that according to my amount of weeping before God, then God will hear me. Listen, there is weeping and there's faith. There's weeping and there's believing. Those are two things. And we must put them in their rightful places. Can you see that? Because if you notice, if I've been crying, if I've been weeping, if I've been doing these things, years have gone and passed and nothing happens. That can only mean that there must be something wrong that I am doing. There must be something wrong. Believing that God will move towards me, God will answer me because of my pity. God, pity me. Father, have pity on me. Pity me. See that? God is a God of His word. Faith drives you into action, drives us into doing. This is why the Bible says that faith without works, it is dead. Faith without action, because faith is a doing power. Faith is a doing power. So if there are no action there, that's an antithesis. The opposite. We are saying things that are opposites. These things can never come together. Faith can never be dead because faith is a power that works. What is faith? What is faith? What is faith? So it can never be dead. It's a power that works, operates. Glory to God. You cannot separate faith from action. You cannot separate faith from doing. You cannot separate faith from working. From working. Faith works. Joshua and Caleb were so full of faith that all they wanted was to do something. Remember the story we spoke about when we're dealing with irrational faith. Joshua and Caleb were so full of the faith of God that all they wanted was to do something. While the other 10, they said, no, we must do nothing. Now you see the opposite there. The ones that are full of faith, they want to do something. The ones that have nothing, that are dead, they want to do nothing. The person who's full of faith, they just want to win souls to Jesus. They want to win souls to Christ. Now, this person has got something in them. The thing in them is working them. If faith is a working power, that means faith works you. It pushes you. It moves you. It drives you. It propels you. Faith works you into doing something. Now we say faith, but your faith moves, it doesn't move you. When you're full of faith, you want to win people to Jesus. When you're full of faith, you want to tell people about Jesus. When you're full of faith, you want to tell people about what Christ has done for you. That's why you have the manual to say, I was this, I was like that. He began with the scripture, Pastor Summer, and he said, this is what God has done for me. And now he's doing, this is works. What he just presented to you, that's works. You can't say you have faith, but you do nothing. It's an antithesis. Faith calls you, moves you, and causes you to do something. And not just talk about it and not doing it, because some of us, we like to measure. We like to major on talking about it, but never doing it. That's why you can see that Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit before God, and we did explain the other week when we were dealing with the message, what did he mean by a different spirit? He meant that they were full of faith. They had the spirit of faith in them. That's what the Lord called a different spirit. A different spirit. Am I talking to somebody? Faith, if you're full of faith, faith will drive you to come to church. Faith will drive you to come to hear the word of God. Faith will drive you to open and read the Bible. Now, come on. How many times last week have you opened and read the Bible? But you say you are a man of faith, you are a woman of faith. It is faith that causes you to open it and read it. That's faith. Faith causes hunger within you. You hunger for more and more of God. That's faith. You desire supernatural grace, that's faith. You desire to do things supernaturally, that's faith. You look into the scriptures and say, Lord, how is it that people with flesh and blood like myself, they could be used so powerfully by you? And you begin to hunger for that. You begin to seek after that. No, there's something in you that works you. It's called faith. It's called faith. If you're full of faith, when somebody stands in front of the church and give a testimony, if it's genuinely a testimony from the Lord, most people, they hear the testimony and they clap their hands, they shout and they holler. But a man, a woman of faith, it leaves them with a lingering question. It leaves them with a lingering desire. It leaves them with a lingering quest to say, Lord, how could this be? How did you do this? I desire to know how you do it. Now that's a person of faith. Separated from the clappers and the howlers. He said, no, man. You say you were sick, now you're healed. It gives a person of faith an assignment. Say, Lord, if you can use man to do that, you can use me. See? That's a man, that's a woman of faith. Am I talking to somebody today? The word of faith which we preach, not the dead word which we preach, but the word of faith which we preach. Glory to God. Hebrews 11 and verse 3. Hebrews 11 and 3 today. Hebrews 11 and 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's Hebrews 11 and 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. King James says, were not made of things which do appear. What does this scripture, what does this verse tell you? God does nothing without his word. Yeah. By faith you understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God does nothing without his word. This is why we need to hear his word, because his word causes faith to rise from within us, and faith propels us into action. See, faith, inspired by the word of God, causes us to move towards God and to say to the Lord, Lord, what would you want me to do for you? What would you want me to do for you? Now, you people of God that are here, that are going through stuff, the word of faith erases, takes away doubt. The word of faith erases fear, discouragement, depression, stress from our heart. If you're feeling heavy, you need to go to the word of God. Heaviness and the word of God can never be mentioned in the same sentence, and should not. Should not be mentioned in the same sentence. Are you attacked by bouts of doubt, by spells of fear, by rounds of discouragement, by cycles of depression, by periods of stress? All you need is the word of faith. You need faith in the word. Believe the word of God. Believe the word of God. And all these things, they will fly away off of you. Am I talking to somebody? 10 o'clock prayer was beautiful beyond measure. Felt it could be the whole message. Could be the whole message. Don't listen to your flesh. When you're offended, you want to go. When you're offended, you want to leave. When you're offended, you make the wrong choices. When you're offended, you make the wrong decisions. Why? Why? Because you have stepped out of the realm of faith. You are now in the natural realm. That's why it's all about you. No, my friend. You even want the mountains to bow before you. Can't you see? Grow up. Grow up. When will this stop? Really, when will this stop? Are we listening to our flesh now, or are we supposed to be listening to God? Who gives us direction? God. God. That's why God is pleased with us when we are men and we are women of faith. Then listen, when we are people of faith, we will hear God, because faith leads us to God. We'll be able to hear the voice of God in the word of God. A lot of us, we hear the letter that kills, we hear the word of God, but we don't hear the voice. Even if it's not the letter that kills, even if it's the word of God, but some of us, we stop, we end with the word, we don't hear the voice. The pastor is preaching. Can we hear something that is not audible? No, the pastor is preaching, but is there something that is not audible that only your spirit can hear? Can we hear it? See, that's the voice of God. That's the voice of God. We know our pastor is not a speaker. We know our pastor speaks. He goes to the left, to the right, to the center. He goes everywhere. But don't worry about that. Don't focus on that. That's the natural. That's external. But there's a voice of God that you ought to hear. If truly this preaching comes from God, that takes faith. That takes faith. I've listened to a lot of sermons in my life. Even when I was a baby Christian, I was born again because Holy Spirit opened my spirit to hear Him. I've been hearing God since. I've been born again for 28 years now. I've never stopped hearing God. You can preach your sermon. You can put flowers. Doesn't move me. You can give a wonderful presentation. Doesn't move me. I'm moved. I don't know how to explain. You can't explain this. There is a voice. You say something. There's a lingering voice. Oh, you church, you have no idea how beautiful that is. You can say to pastor after the message, say, Pastor, you know when you're preaching, God was saying 1, 2, 3, and 4. And the pastor, I didn't say that. Of course, pastor, I didn't say that. But it's what the Holy Spirit was saying. He was riding on the words, pastor. He was riding on your tongue. So when you were speaking, because that was action, you were in the spirit. I was hearing a message that was, we are 20,000 here, but I could hear my own message. How are you able to hear your own message in a crowd of 20,000? Because when the preacher preaches, he preaches to 20,000. But what is the portion that is yours from God? See. See. Now we are talking meat. Now that's why people get offended. The message comes, they get offended from the word. Why? Because they are listening through the flesh. See? No, this is milk when we're still there. We're still in the kindergarten. You hear God in the morning when the band ministers. You don't need to wait for the preaching. I heard God clearly during prayer at 10, which happens all the time. It's the grace of God. I heard God, Holy Spirit opened my heart when I got born again. He's never closed it. That means I've never stopped hearing God since. Even if you can take me to the top of Kilimanjaro, I don't need your prophet. I don't need your apostle. I don't need your pastor. I don't need them. Honestly, I'm not being proud. I'm being humble. If God speaks, I'll know. If he hasn't spoken, that's it, and I'm undone. And wild animals can come and rip me apart. No problem. I'm teaching you God. Stop following men without faith. Stop following men without vision. Please. This thing doesn't please God. Doesn't please God. Doesn't please God at all. Are we together in this house? Oh, glory to God. Anybody feeling happy? Anyone feeling irate? The word of God is an invite, church. The word of God is an invite which begins with the word come. What is the word of God? Which begins? Hebrews 4 and 16 says what? Read. 1, 2, 3, go, read. Hebrews 4, 16. We read it already, please. Read. What does Hebrews 4, 16 say? Come, let us therefore come boldly. The word of God is an invite. It begins with the word come. 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 I'm a pastor preaching. God is not saying come to me. He says come to him, the invisible one. The word of God is an invite. It begins with come. Let us come Let us go. Let us move from where we are in life, in mind, in heart, in spirit. Let us come. Let us go. Let us move from where we are in life, in mind, in heart, in spirit, to where God is. Some of us, we have to make the transmigration up here. We are not wired on God up here. Some of us have to make the transmigration in here. We are not where God is in our hearts. We're not where God is. We are not where God is. This is why we seek Him daily. This is why we seek Him daily. That, Lord, I may be where you are. That, Lord, I may be where you want me to be. Am I talking to somebody? Come where God is. Come boldly to the word, to the throne. Why? The throne is where God is. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly. If you came to Kingdom of Sons Ministries this morning, I pity you. But if you came to this building to God, I congratulate you. I said, but if you came to this building to God, I congratulate you. But if you came to Kingdom of Sons Ministries, and that's about it, I pity you, friends. We need a move. It says, come. We need a move. We need a shift. We need a new paradigm. We need a new way of seeing, a new way of doing, a new way of believing, a new way of seeing. How do you see what you see? How do you see what you see? How do you believe what you believe? How can we try to judge that? We can judge that by your spiritual well-being, your spiritual welfare. We can judge that by where you are in life and what you are doing. Not in relation to the world, please, in relation to achievements in God. In relation to God. In relation to God. Hallelujah. Tell another, say, we need a move. You gotta get a move on, my friend. Come on, you gotta get a move on. Come on with a swag, you gotta get a move on. Yeah, that's why it's difficult. Without a swag, it's difficult. So you gotta get a move on. That's right. Gotta get a move on in your life, in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit. 2 Corinthians 4 and 13. 2 Corinthians 4 and 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, 2 Corinthians 4 and 13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. Number one thing to note. He tells us that we have the same substance, the same faith as all other generations of faith before us. Already that's a challenge. We have the same. He's telling you, we have the same faith as all other generations before us. As all other generations, if the Lord tarries, as all other generations that will be after us. We have the same faith. That's a challenge right there. A challenge. We have the same faith that stopped the sun, the faith of Joshua that stopped the earth. The earth stopped because Joshua believed. Stopped. What about a king who said, let the sun move backwards. Let the earth move backwards. Now, since we know that is the earth that revolves around the sun, so it's not the sun that moved. If the sun is stationary, if it's the earth that revolves around the sun, so the whole earth moved because of one person's faith. You and I have the same faith. We have the same faith. We have the same spirit of faith. We have the same faith that opened and closed the heavens for rain. The faith of Elijah. At his word, it stopped raining. And it never rained again until he spoke. Can you see that? We have the same faith. We have the same faith. Is a movement. Faith is a movement towards God. Faith causes people to do things in the name of the Lord. When the faith of God is within a person, it demands an action. It demands a doing, not just a talking, not intellectual. No, faith, it is a gift, a divine supernatural gift. Faith is a grace. It's a grace. We have the same faith of Christ. The faith we have comes from Him. We have the same faith of Christ that raised the dead, that made the lame to walk, that opened the eyes of the blind, that made the mute to speak. That's the scripture we read, 2 Corinthians 4:13. We have the same spirit of faith. We have no excuse. We have no excuse. We have the same spirit of faith. We have the same faith that did things that there are no books enough to contain. We have the same faith. Things were done that there are no books enough to contain. There were not enough writers to document. That's the faith that is in you. Not enough writers to document. If we really can open our heart to the Word of God, if we can really can open ourselves to the Holy Spirit and begin to stand to God as vessels and not begin to stand before God as graduates. The problem, we are graduates before God, we are not vessels. God is not looking for graduates, He's looking for vessels. Vessels to use. Vessels. What is a vessel? A vessel is empty. He's looking for empty, empty, empty. God wants to begin from scratch. Empty. When you stand before God, when I stand before God, I know nothing. When I stand before God, I'm a child. Lord, I don't know. Lord, I come empty. Fill me. Fill these vessels. That's what God wants to work with. That's what God wants to work with, friends. Vessels that are empty for Him to utilize. Number two, from 2 Corinthians 4:13. Number 2, we also, since we have the same spirit of faith, must first believe and then speak. Must what? First and then? We can diagnose a problem already of many here. We can already diagnose the problem of many here. Many have spoken what they don't believe in their hearts. As a result, the consequences have been bad. See? No. Believe it first. Don't speak to the mountain to move when we have not believed first. That if I speak to it in the name of Jesus, it will give way. Because if you've not believed, it does not matter how many times you speak to it, it will still not move. First, believe before you speak. First, we must do what? Before we speak to our finances and say, listen up, you little paper, you. Stop growing wings. I don't buy you Red Bull. Right now, I bind the person who buys a Red Bull for free because your wings causes you to fly away from me. See that? But believe, church. We must believe. We must speak, church. We must speak. Remember, it says, we also believe and therefore we speak, right? We must speak what is written. We must speak what the Word of God says. Now, that requires a paradigm shift. Am I talking to you? We must speak what the Word of God says. I am sick, no problem. What does the Word of God say? I am needy. I am lacking. What does the Word of God say? I am heavy. I'm discouraged. I'm depressed. What does the Word of God say? Then you begin to speak what is written. Begin to speak what the Word of God says. And I'm going to repeat myself again. Now, this requires a paradigm shift in the way that we've been believing. requires a paradigm shift. A paradigm shift in the, we require a new way of seeing, a new way of thinking, a new way of doing, a new way of believing. Faith takes you out of the old into the new. I say faith takes you out of the old into the new. Faith always challenges us to move forward. Faith always challenges us to act. We need, friends, to say what God says about us. We need to say what God says about our situations. We need to say what God says about our future. There's no need to be discouraged about your future. You need to say what God says about your future. There's no need to be discouraged about your future. I'm going to say this because this is a popular one. I am 30 years old now. I am 40 years old now. What have I achieved? I haven't. No. Are you speaking the word of God right now? What word are you sending into the future? What seeds are you planting now? What seeds are these? I don't have anything. I don't have my own house. I don't have my own car. I don't have a child. No. What are you talking? What does the word of God say? We believe, and we also believe, and therefore we speak. We must speak what God says about us. We must speak what God says about our situations. We must speak what God says about our future. As I'm closing today, let's flip over, just move over to verse number 17, the same scripture, 2 Corinthians 4 and 17. I want to show you something there, friends. Now it says, for a light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now listen to this. The word of God says here, whatever you go through is only for a short time. What does the word of God say? That's number one, right? Whatever we? But what do? We make it permanent. Can you see that? The word of God says what we go through is only for a short time, but I kid you not, we make it permanent. That's why we get discouraged. That's why we get depressed, because of the thing that we are passing through. But the word of God tells us clearly that the thing that we are passing through are only for a short time. Now, can I tell you something? The reason why the situation is not going, the reason why the situation is permanent, is because we make it permanent. While God has made it short, we make it long. I mean, come on, tell somebody, I don't hear the pastor right now deliberately. The reason why it's permanent, because we make it permanent. God makes it short. We come and make it permanent. But God has made it short. That's why it tells you it's only for a moment, but we have made it permanent. But God hasn't. Now, can you see the danger of not speaking what God says about yourself? The danger of speaking what God doesn't say about your situation. The danger of speaking something else other than what God says about your future. You take something that is temporary, something that is momentarily, something that is transient, right? You make it permanent. Whose will is that? Whose word is that? Is that the word of God or my word? See that? See that? That's number one. Number two, he says, is working for us. Now he's saying it is to your advantage. What does the word of God say? This thing is short, and it is to my advantage. I'm having a predicament right here. This is a conundrum of note. I don't know how to deal with this. Now, what does the word of God say? The word of God says it will not last long. And the word of God says this thing is to my advantage. Now, what is my duty right here? Is to believe the word and begin to speak the word to my situation. Your situation, you will not last long. Your situation, you are working for me. Your situation, you are here. You are for my own advantage. Come on, church. Requires a paradigm shift, a new way of seeing things, a new way of believing, a new way of thinking. And where does that come from? From the Word of God. From the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Learning to speak the word of God when you are in the middle of your wilderness. I'm saying learning to speak the word when everything is dried up around you. There's not even one tinsy winsel little green around you. There's no green. Everything is parched. Everything is yellow. Everything is whatever, but a color that has got no life whatsoever. And you stand and you begin to speak the word of God. And we shall speak in this minute very shortly. Oh man, son of man, what do you see? Lord, I see dead bones. Son of man, what do you see? Lord, I see dry bones. Son of man, what do you see? Lord, I see bones without life. And the Lord says, in the midst of the bones, they are dead. They've got no life. They are dry. Now the Lord says, begin to speak my word, not your word. Now speak my word, not your word. Son of man, can these live? I love the answer of Ezekiel. I love this prophet. And he answers and he says, Lord, you know. Oh my God. Nothing is working, church. You have tried. You've gone to your networks. You have gone to your connections. You have gone to your contacts. You've done everything and nothing is coming together. You've gone to your friends in high places and nothing is coming together. And God, he sent you to a warehouse in a place like this and you find a pastor who does not feature anywhere and God begins to speak. Oh my God. Son of man, the word of God, son of man. Does not matter if he says your situation is not permanent, do not make it permanent. How long now? I'm 32. I'm a woman. I'm 32. No husband. No child. I'm 36. No husband. No child. I'm 40. No husband. No child. I'm 47. No husband. No child. I'm 50. No husband. No child. No problem. We call that a situation. What does God say? Listen. As far as God's calling for life is concerned, it does not go. God does not consult your age. Please understand that. God, don't you see I'm close to menopause? God, I'm 5'2". I'm close to the twilight. I'm going to become menopausal. So God, where's the man? You see. You see, so God can't give you a child because of your menopause. Wow. You've reduced God to menopause. Oh, so God is man on pause, menopause. So you first have to believe and then speak. And church, speak it, speak it, speak it. And listen, unbeknownst to you, while you are speaking, you are moving in faith. You are moving in the spirit. You are advancing in victory. You are putting your faith to work. There is something that happens. The Bible says the woman came and she touched and immediately there was instantly. What does it tell you? When you believe the word of God, there is instant movement. There is instant action in the spirit. Glory to God. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, shout in this place. I said, come on, shout in this place.